You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I'm standing by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day finally comes and I find myself standing with the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine, Lord, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship. I can only imagine.
Thank you. Thanks, Brother Charles. That was really good. What a privilege and an honor it is, folks, for me to be with you guys tonight. And I truly don't have the words to express how much I mean that. Brother Leland, I have a confession to make. Now I know I've got y'all's attention. Last time I came over, it was a couple months ago. And I don't think that I told you this, but if I did, I apologize because I didn't mean to. You call me like you always do at about 4:30 on Thursday of the day that I'm going to speak. And you ask me if everything was okay and if I was still just wanting to make sure your speaker's going to be there that night. And I had down on my calendar 2 weeks away from that night. And I tried not to sound too panicky, and I hope I didn't, but I said, oh yeah, I'll be there. And I said, I have got to go, folks, and I shot out of this. Lucky I didn't get killed on the way home trying to figure out what am I going to talk about, what am I going to do. So I thought, you know, I certainly didn't have time to prepare anything, so I said, well, I'll give my testimony, how I got saved. And I came over, and folks, two months ago, whenever it was at the end of that, that was all orchestrated by God, because we had seven folks that came before God's throne of grace, and today, for eternity, they know Him as their Lord and Savior. And if I had had time to have planned that out, that wouldn't have happened. So I just praise Him for that. So with that being said, tonight I want to share my testimony with you again on how I did come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the blood trail that led up to that, and what I went through in that process. And as we, before we get started, I just typed out some verses, and this is what I just want to read these to you. If you want to write them down, or if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. And this is what John says. And folks, please do your very best to follow me in this and listen closely. John says in chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, 1 John, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son." Verse 12. "He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now, folks, there's a lot of things in the Bible that confuse me. This isn't one of them. These verses that we just read right here, it doesn't get any more plain. It's not any more clear of the fact that if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have life. And if you don't, you're lost. You're lost in a lot of ways. Verse 13 says, "These things I have written to you." Listen closely. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Folks, what I want to share with you this evening is how I came to a place in my life, finally, to where I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was my Savior, that my sins were gone. All the confusion, all the doubt, all the guilt, all the fear, all of the bad theology, all of the religion I'm going to talk to you about, and on and on and on. I don't have time to tell you all the things I went through as a young person, but all of this that stood against me and was opposed to me, I finally got to a point in my life where I knew Jesus was my Savior, and I knew I was forgiven, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt when my life's over, I will stay and remain in His presence forever and forever and forever. It was a long story for me getting there, and I want to share that with you now. I grew up over in Artesia, New Mexico, a little town over there in southeast New Mexico. To say that I grew up in a non-Christian home is really putting it lightly. My mom and my dad divorced when I was 3 years old. My mom remarried 6 months later to a guy that was an atheist. I was going to say agnostic, but he was full-blown atheist, basically, if there is such a thing. I don't know. People tell me there is no such thing. But If there was, he was one. And he was very antagonistic about anything regarding religion. And I grew up in that. I never went to church. I might have gone on an Easter a time or two with my natural father to the Methodist church a time or two. But it seems like I remember getting in trouble for writing on a hymnal or something. And that's about it. But I never went to church. Little girl lived across the street from me in the neighborhood I grew up in. His name was Peggy Clark. And Peggy was a very devout Catholic. And she was always talking to me about her church and joining or living a good life and being involved in her church and inviting me. And I never went. And there was another little boy that lived down on the other corner. His name was Jay. And Jay was a very devout Church of Christ, and I used to sit around and listen to them argue over the Bible all the time. I didn't really believe any of it or know any of it, but long story short, I was kind of the neighborhood. I'm in between them. I'm a neighborhood heathen. And so both these guys are trying to get me into their church, and so I'll straighten up. And I'm telling you, I'm not very old. I'm, say, in the 7-8-year-old range, and the movie The Ten Commandments came out. Do any of you guys remember the movie The Ten Commandments? Some of you old folks do. Yeah, and I'm including myself in that. Well, this movie, Charlton Heston. He was more Moses than Moses was Moses. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. And so they wanted me to go. I said, what is it? And they said, the Ten Commandments. I said, what is the Ten Commandments? I remember not having a clue what they were talking about. Folks, do any of y'all ever remember your first encounter with God? Do you ever remember, I'm not talking about a real religious experience, but the first time you ever really learned about Him or heard about Him or knew anything? I do. I remember that moment, and it was when I went to that movie. And I went and I sat right. I didn't really care about going to the movie. I wanted to be with Peggy, you know. And so I sat right between her and Jay. And this movie, all the things, God part, Moses holding his staff up and the Red Sea parting and all the miracles happening and all the water turning to blood and the plagues of Egypt that it talks about through the Old Testament. All this stuff happened. And I sat there with my mouth dropped open. I can remember it. And I'm asking them, is this just a movie? Is this Hollywood? Or did this really? No, this happened, Mark. I can show you in the Bible it happened. And I walked out of there and I was overwhelmed with this understanding of God. And this God is someone who I'm responsible to for my actions. And so far my actions aren't very good. Because I had already heard, you don't lie. Man, I lied about everything. And I all these different things. And I knew I had broken a lot of these commandments. And I'm not in very good standing. But anyway, I go home and I remember going in and I asked Mom, had been saved as a girl but wasn't living the life. And we all suffered because of that. But I remember going in and asking Mom, do we have a Bible in this house? She said, well, of course we have a Bible. Where is it? Well, it took us a while to find it. We blew the dirt off of it. I said, Mom, are the Ten Commandments in that Bible? She says, well, sure, they're in every Bible. I said, can you show them to me? And I remember sitting there on the side of her bed and Mom opening the Bible up and showing me, and I said, read them. And she started reading them. And I said, Mom, I stopped her and I said, Mom, it was like there was something extremely holy about this book, which there is, but it's not the book, it's not the paper, it's the words in it. And I was sitting there and I was saying, Mom, do you know God wrote that? And tears started, still hard for me to talk about. Tears are flowing down her face and she's so convicted that she knows I ought to be the one teaching this 8-year-old kid of mine that God wrote this instead of him telling me this. But anyway, time goes on and I went right back to my heathen ways, but convicted. There's a God, and I'm responsible to Him for my actions. Time went on, and to make this, we don't have a lot of time, so I'll make it as quick as I can. I'm about 11 years old. My uncle, I went to stay with up in Denver, Colorado one summer, and he was a member of the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so as a result of me going there and staying that summer, I wound up joining the Mormon Church. And I joined it really not knowing what I was doing, but I realized there again, I wanted to be a member of something that was good, that was right. I wanted to be good. I wanted to be right. And this seemed to maybe be the way. So I joined this church and I started attending, and I was very faithful, very committed. I believed it. Folks, I can't tell you how much I believed it. I believed and you may not know much about the Mormon Church, but they've got some kind of crazy things that if I told you about, you'd say, how could anybody believe that? Well, I don't know. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the country. Satan is alive and well at deceiving people, but that's another story. But I believed it all. I believed that Joseph Smith, who founded it in the 1800s, was a true prophet of God. I believed that they had a modern-day prophet in Salt Lake City that God spoke to directly, and the word went out from there, and everything else. But when it came to having a relationship with God, folks, there was none in my life. Zero. If you cursed God, that was your problem. If you said something about my church, I'd fight you over that. Now, there's something wrong with that. You know what that's called? Religion. And I was eaten up with that. Religion is man-made rules, regulations, all of those things. But Christianity is trusting Jesus Christ, knowing that He's covered you and He's living His life out through you. And I didn't have a concept of that, but time goes on. Mom gets a divorce from that guy. We wind up, she remarries again. We move to Midland, Texas. I thought the world had come to an end. We moved to Midland and finished high school there. And toward the end of my senior year, I got to a point where I realized I'm still in this conviction mode, and I'm doing a lot of things that a lot of teenagers do, and probably a little bit more. And I'm very convicted of this sin in my life, and I know I'm wrong. I know, and I started reading some anti-Mormon material. And so I'd come to a long story. I wish I had time to share it all with you, but I came to the point where I came to the conclusion that either the Bible is wrong and Mormonism's right, or Mormonism's wrong and the Bible is right. But I was leaning more towards the Mormons are right, the Bible's wrong, because I'd been so indoctrinated. But I'm looking and I'm searching and I'm reading. So I start going to a lot of different churches, and I wind up graduated from high school. I had a summer job and I'm working in this, and I'm searching. I'm trying. I finally came to the conclusion, I don't think what I've grown up believing's it now. So I've got to find out what it is. Because there has to be a church that is the only right church. That's just the way I grew up. Okay, I'm not telling you that I believe that now. That's what I believed then. And so I've got to find the right church, the right gospel. Because if I don't find it, I don't have a chance. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's all about the church is what I'm thinking. So I start going to a lot of different churches. I nailed it down to two. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was the Church of Christ and it was a Pentecostal church. And if you are in either one of those now or you grew up in that, I am absolutely not saying I'll be harder on Baptist than anybody you'll ever hear me talk about if we have any time. So I'm not talking about those denominations. I'm giving you my testimony of what I went through. Okay? So I'm talking to one and I'm going to his church, a guy named Danny Allison. He was a Pentecostal minister and I worked with him. And we're going to his church, and I'm going to revivals and doing that. I'm going to the Church of Christ on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And I've got questions, and I'm asking people, and I'm having Bible studies, and I'm trying. I had one question. How can I go to heaven? How can I know I'm going to heaven? Well, the guy at A Street Church of Christ, here was his list he gave me. And it begins with his list. And I'd already given up one list in Mormonism, and I'm trying to figure out which other list do I need now. So now I'm going to the Pentecostals, and I got their list. So I'm confused. So I got to get them together. So I did that on Tuesday nights at A Street Church of Christ at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights. And that was something we could have sold tickets to. You get a Pentecostal preacher and a Church of Christ preacher debating over tongues and baptism and all these different doctrinal issues. It's fun. But my confusion grew. No peace. Just confusion. I came to this conclusion. The only shot I've got is I've got to be a good man. I got to be good. I got to do it right. I got to cross the T's. I got to dot the I's. After I'd gone for about 6 weeks, I'd gone there for 6 weeks to this Bible study we were having. Long story short, I finally came to the conclusion where this was what I told him on that final night. I said, "Brother Danny, let's say I do everything that you tell me that I have to do. I've done it right. This is my Pentecostal friend. We're still friends. I still talk to him from time to time. He thinks I'm crazy, but anyway, I think he's crazy too. We're still friends. But I told him, Dan, I do it all. I've done your baptism. I have spoken tongues. I've done the things. I didn't go, folks, I want to tell you something. I was so convicted and I wanted heaven so bad, I didn't care what I had to do. I was willing to do anything to know that Jesus Christ was my Savior. I did have this understanding. I'm going to die someday. And there is a God. And I will face Him. And so I'm trying to figure out what's my best chances of facing Him on His terms. And us being in good shape. So Danny, I said, Danny, let's say tonight I've done it exactly like you've told me. And I'm saved. I just got saved. I'm born again. And I'm going home. And it was football season. And I love football. And I'm going home. And I realize I've got 3 minutes before kickoff to my favorite game of the year. I got to hurry. And I put the pedal to the metal. And I'm speeding. And I'm going about 55 in a 30. And the light at the red light, it turns from green to yellow, and that means hurry. So I blow through it, and it's red, and a car comes flying through there and T-bones me. And I just step out into eternity. Danny, would I go to heaven? Would I go to hell? Now, talk to me. This is tough, because I have sin in my life. He says, well, why do you classify that as sin? I said, because the Scripture says to obey the laws of the land unless they're in conflict with God's law. And that's a good law. And I just broke that. Plus, I'm being impatient. Well, impatience is sin. He said, well, Mark, you're right. You would go to hell. I said, okay, I kind of believe that. I think I probably would. Because he says, obvious, because no sin can enter into the presence of God. I said, I get that. I understand that. And then I asked my Church of Christ friend, and he tells me he's taking it too far. And I said, you know, I kind of feel like he is too, but how far is too far? Should I have been going 80? Should I have said a curse word because the light turned right when I was killed? And he said, it's between you and God. God looks on the heart. Man looks on it, and I said, yes, but I understand the Bible says that my heart is wicked. And there's no good in this man's heart. So what are my chances? I wouldn't go to a Baptist church because they believed in once saved, always saved. I said, man, that's crazy. That's from the devil. I know better than that. I'm not about to go. My mom went and the guy came by looking for her. And a week later he comes by looking for her. She's gone to Dallas. I invite him in. And he said, and I start telling him, sharing my story with him. He says, man, you're confused, aren't you? And I said, you think? He said, I'm going to promise you, not on your feelings, not on my feelings. I'm going to promise you on the written word of God. How that God says, first of all, in 1 Corinthians, I forget the verse, but it says in 1 Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion. He's the God of peace, and I'm going to promise you, I will leave here today, if you'll listen to what I say, based on the Word of God, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life. I said, I don't believe I'll hear it coming out of a Baptist preacher's mouth, but go ahead and tell me. He said, well, do you have a Bible? I said, yeah, he didn't have his with him. I went and got my Bible, and he started in. First of all, he told me what the purpose of God's law was in Galatians chapter 3. And if you're under that law, in other words, you're trying to be justified before this holy God based on your goodness, you're going to hell. Because you can't do it. There's no goodness in you. There is none in you. Zero. Not, you can't even begin to think about it. And then he showed me for the first time, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he had me put my name in there, and he started going through. This lasted 3 hours, guys, and I'm trying to tell you in just a couple minutes. He went through the truth of God's true gospel with me. And for the first time, he told me the story of the Passover in the Old Testament, where that the death angel comes through and looked in, and he didn't look to see if somebody had been being good or bad or anything in between. But the scripture says when he saw the blood, he passed by. And one day I will stand before God's judgment seat, and I will stand before God's throne, and everybody in here tonight that can hear my voice, we all will. And at that time, God is not going to be interested if you were a good Baptist, if you were a good Methodist, if you were a good Mormon, if you were anything. He's going to be interested in one thing. Did you accept, did you trust my Son that I sent to die for you, wicked person? That's all he will look. And if he sees the blood, he will pass by you. I looked at that and I literally leaned back. I was all dirty. I just got off work, had oil all over me. I was all filthy and stunk. And I leaned back on my mama's couch, probably got it dirty. And I pointed and I said, Pastor, that is exactly what I've been looking for all of my religious life. And you're a Baptist. I wouldn't be caught dead in a Baptist church. I couldn't wait to get there the next day. The invitation came. I about burnt the carpet down trying to get down there so I could know that I was saved and sign up to get baptized and join that church. That's Kelvy Heights Baptist Church in Midland. And they hadn't kicked me out yet. I'm still going. Folks, I just want to say this to you and I'm done. Every one of us has a big hole in our soul. Every one of us. And that hole can be filled with one thing and only one thing. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You may have tried religion. You may have tried drugs. You may have tried money. In your mind, you may be thinking these things will fill that hole. And it won't. Only Jesus Christ will. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I promise you, if you will trust Him, He'll save you. He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. Brother Leland.
I'd like for you to bow your heads, if you would, with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is about as simple, and that's the amazing thing about Christianity. It's just simple. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's 19 one-syllable words. Religion confuses, and maybe you've tried this, tried that, or maybe you've tried nothing, but you still know you got that gap, that hole, that vacancy, that you've not found the peace and the joy that comes. Life is a bummer, never fair. Maybe you're here and going through some of the same thing that Mark was. If you are, would you just slip up your hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, indicating you want to be prayed for? You want to find that? I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you all over this room. Thank you. Yes. Now then, here's what I want you to do in a moment. We're going to pray. And I want you to not put it off anymore. You may just need to read those very words out of somebody's Bible to see that they're really there. But tonight, you can walk out of here, heaven bound. You can leave here with the joy that comes only from Jesus Christ. You can solve the problems tonight. Our Heavenly Father, You know the hearts of the people here. And Father, we've all been, are going to be, just what Mark talked about. So Father, tonight, may Your Holy Spirit touch each heart. And may Your Son be glorified in this service. We ask it in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, heads still bowed, eyes still closed? And on the very first verse that Charles starts singing, would you come and we'll have... And you can come and trust this Jesus Christ tonight. Would you do it right now? Let's go. Come on. Come on. Step out. It takes some guts. Come on. Come on. I'm going to ask Brother Charles in a moment to change songs. I want him to change. I want him to play "Just As I Am" without one plea. That's the only way you can come to the Lord. It's not time of getting ready. It's not a time of preparation. It's when I get this done or that done. When I get out of Clover House. When I get clean. When I get home. We're always going to do something tonight. Just as you are, without a plea. With no excuse, you'd step out and say, I take Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trust Him tonight. You lifted your hand a while ago. Now make the next step. Just as I am, without one plea. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. Yeah. Come right on. There you are. Come on. Come on right now. But that thy blood was shed for me. He died for you. He did it in public. Come right on. Why are you waiting? Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you touched some hearts. We thank you that you're still in the saving business. We thank you that with all the turmoil and all the unrest in people's lives today, you can bring peace and joy and comfort. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. And now he's waiting for us, seated beside you. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for this service. Thank you for Mark. Thank you for those that are here. And Father, I pray this. Those that didn't do what you wanted them to do, Father, I pray that you'd give them another chance. I pray this would not be their last chance, that you'd have mercy and give them another chance. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.